everybody, and welcome to Crack Spines, where every book's a survival manual if you read it real good. I'm Amelia, your wilderness survival expert.
I'm Sarah. I'm a nursing student, and I've seen a lot of blood recently, but in, like, an acceptable way.
Yeah, do you want to tell us some more about that, Sarah? You've had some pretty exciting adventures in the world of OB.
Yeah, birthed some babies, you know?
You did. You brought a fucking human being into the world.
They're mine now, legally. I touched them with my hands, and therefore they will always know that my mark is upon them. No matter where they wander on this earth, they have been afflicted by my association, and God will hunt them down with a vicious vengeance. So, you know, they're so cute, the little babies. They come out pooping. Did you know that?
Oh my God, are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah.
Why does it always come back to poop? Why?
Everything in nursing is poop. Everything in healthcare is poop. Also, I'm cat-sitting your old cat-sitting jobs, and that's also nothing but poop.
Yeah, God, it really makes me kind of not want to get a cat when I think back on how that is kind of the common denominator.
Yeah, it's like a horrible scavenger hunt. It's like, to connect to our book, the world's worst fucking treasure map.
I don't like that.
It's like, where did this sick cat poop in this enormous house with its white carpeting?
Are you serious? The babies are born pooping?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if all babies are born pooping. In fact,
how? But why? They don't even... They haven't eaten anything.
They have. They've eaten amniotic fluid.
I don't like
that, Sarah.
Basically,
they're pooping out the amniotic fluid that's inside them.
I really don't
like
it.
In fact, if a baby comes out, if the amniotic fluid comes out and it's sort of green-brown looking, it's meconium stained, that's really bad because that means the baby has pooped while they're still in the womb because that there has been some kind of, like, I think it's like it's triggered when basically their head is supposed to breach and they're supposed to be breathing on their own. Like, it shouldn't happen at any point before that. But if it does, it's a serious condition. And I did it. 40 seconds in. 40 seconds in. And you said to me, Sarah, this time, please, I beg you. I beg you with everything I have. No poop. And I said, I can't imagine how I would bring poop to the episode on Treasure Island.
As if all of our previous episodes have somehow been poop-related and it's been relevant in those circumstances.
But here is the thing, Amelia. Nothing is ever not relevant when it comes to poop.
I mean, I guess.
Literally, the human condition is we need to eat and we need to get rid of what we ate.
I'm just saying, like, maybe relevance is not a state of being, but rather a choice that we make, and maybe you are choosing to make poop relevant in every single episode that we do.
Interesting, interesting. Can I counter with... No. It's just relevant. It's not me. It's just very important, and we need to talk about our bowel health.
Listen, I really hate where this has gone. Do you want to talk about Treasure Island? So, this week, we read the book Treasure Island by Robert Louis Stevenson.
Yes.
And theoretically, this is my second time reading it, but I have absolutely no memory of ever reading it. But according to both my Kindle and my Goodreads, I have read it, and I have literally highlighted bits of it. And as I was reading it, I was like, I know for a fact that I would have been reading this in like 2015, which is not that long ago. I have no memory of any of this happening. So clearly...
So you didn't read it during your Black Sails phase.
No.
You read it pre-Black Sails when you were on your great American literature kick.
Exactly.
Or great English literature kick.
Oh God, is he English?
Yeah, he's English.
Okay, probably.
I think he's Irish. Oh, we should definitely know if he's English
dear.
Or Irish. He might be Scottish. He seems Scottish. Look at him.
What do you mean? Look at him. Are you looking at a picture of him?
No, I'm looking at the audacity. Just look at him. He seems Scottish.
Just look
Let's
at the theoretical
correct.
Concept of him. Okay. I feel like we're insulting pretty much the entire British Isles in
and
various
Ireland.
Capacities. Oh God, is Ireland not part of that? I can't remember.
Is Ireland part of Britain?
I thought it was. I thought that it was that Ireland is a part of the British Isles, but not a part of Great Britain. Okay, listen. We're dumb.
There's Great Britain and Northern Ireland.
Hang on a second. I'm going to fucking look it up.
And, oh man, cut all this section because we just sound... I know this. I feel like I know this. Also, I'm going to look up... I'm putting down money on Scottish.
Okay, no, we got this. We got this. Or rather, we don't got this at all. Ireland is a part of the United Kingdom, but it's not a part of Great Britain. Northern Ireland is, though.
Hey, also, your boy was born in Edinburgh, Scotland.
Okay, Scottish. Cool. So you're, like, weird profiling of the author based on absolutely nothing was correct. I mean, it was really, like, one in four, you know? It was either England, Scotland, Ireland, or Wales. So I guess, like, you did it. 25% chance. Not great odds,
but... I based it off his... my memory of his mustache, and I just thought to myself that seemed pretty Scottish.
Oh my god. You know what? That is true. I am looking at a picture of him now, and that is a very Scottish-looking mustache. I don't know what that means, but, like, on an intuitive level,
I mean,
feels right.
You just
feels organic.
Understand it. Listen, he wrote The Strange Case of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde as well, and I don't know why that
what?
Also makes me think he's Scottish.
Dude, I didn't know he also wrote that. Wow.
Yeah.
I came in, clearly I didn't do enough research for this
podcast. Came in blind. It's okay. The one fact I came in with Robert Louis Stevenson is the memory of what his face kind of looked like, because I saw some photos of him and I thought he looked pretty attractive.
But hey,
and then you pointed
what?
Out in what way he looked attractive, and then I said, let's not discuss it, and then I said, let's not have that be the end of the episode, but we both forgot to record anything else for the end of last episode.
Right.
So we just had to drag me about maybe the fact that I'm... not sexually attracted to Robert Louis Stevenson or any person that he might resemble, but I'm intrigued by the face.
We've rather lost the plot.
The point is, we read the book Treasure Island by Robert Louis Stevenson,
who looks
Scottish,
like,
which is
an
part of
undisclosed
Great
person who Sarah may or may not be attracted to. I can't even remember who it is at this point, actually. I don't even remember. I'm looking
Fantastic.
At him and I'm like, I don't remember. I don't even know who he looks like. I feel like I feel obligated to make fun of you, but I don't even know what for.
Man, you're just shooting blind and you're still hitting.
I know.
I'm still embarrassed.
Hang on, I'm going to send you a very sexually charged image of Robert Louis Stevenson, and you can tell me how that makes you feel.
Okay. Do you want me to tell anything about the book, maybe?
Yeah, go ahead and start talking about the book while I finagle my phone into allowing me to do this. Oh my god, I already downloaded it at some point? What the fuck? When?
You are just Gandalf wandering through the mines of Moria like, I have no memory of this place.
I have no memory of all the images of historical figures that I downloaded at some point to drag Sarah. So tell us about the book, Sarah.
So, the book is told from the point of view of young Jim Howlett.
No! Hawkins!
Okay, well, I was gonna say,
oh my god,
Jim Hooper, and I was like, that's
Jesus
definitely incorrect.
Fucking
and
Christ.
I was gonna say Jim Halpert, and I was like, that's the guy from The Office.
You know what? This episode's canceled. We clearly have nothing meaningful to say about this. So far, we have fucked up the author's nationality, the location of Ireland, what else have we
got? The legal and political status of Ireland as a country.
This is just really fucking bad.
I've never, ever, ever known the names of any of the characters of the books we've read. I've always
You're right, I guess
guessed
that is
them.
Too much to ask of you.
And it has never stopped me from talking about a book before. I don't know anyone's name, Amelia. I've never referred to one of my professors by name, because I don't know what it is. I don't know who they are.
God.
And they're friends with my mother, who's a professor at the school. Also, this is such a sexually charged image of Robert Louis Stevenson. And we...
yeah, it is, right? He's literally giving the camera bedroom eyes.
Yeah, and it's a Victorian camera, so he had to fuck that camera with his eyes for a long, long time.
Yeah, the cameraman definitely had a boner by the time that like, 10-minute exposure was done. And let me tell you, it was an exposure.
Oh, God. Well, no, I was going to say, maybe he had one, but then it was, like, a very long time, and it just sort of went away.
Yeah, that's true. It's probably convenient. You know, it starts out as, like, wow, this is really erotic, and then by the end you're like, I'm uncomfortable. I mean, you can even kind of see it in his face. He's, like, internally, he's like, oh, man, I did not think this facial expression through.
Also, his mustache doesn't look as good in this one.
I think his mustache is just not a good mustache, Sarah.
It's a good mustache! No, there's good angles on the mustache, but it's bad here because he looks like he, like, only recently gained facial hair, and he's not shaving anything that he's gained.
A concept. All mustaches are bad.
Concepts! I once agreed with you, but then I saw, Freddie Mercury, and I was like, nice. And God. Then, honestly, I saw Dorian Pavis from Dragon Age, and I was like, also nice! I guess I like mustaches now.
I was literally sitting here being like, who's it gonna be? Who's it gonna be? How hard can I drag you for this? As it turns out, not that hard. Freddie Mercury, that's very respectable. I won't make fun of you for that.
Yeah, you can make fun of me for Dorian, a fictional video game character who's gay. I say gay like that, not in a bad way, but just in the fact that, like, he'll never, on such a variety of levels, make love to me. In so many different ways, he will never, ever do
so
that.
So unattainable.
Honestly, the ideal man, he is a fucking a dream of a dream.
Yeah, I mean, I can't really make fun of you for Dorian on my end, because I've never played a single video game that you've ever recommended to me, so...
It's so true, isn't it? Oh, it's so true. I'm, like, this whole podcast is, like, me getting one book, and then you having, like, 12, and then me being like, you know what, actually... That's fine. I was gonna make a joke out of it, but it just started sounding really sad, and I want to say that I love the books you pick, and we come to them by mutual decision.
Not always, though. And it's usually
not always. Sometimes, yeah, we'll be real. There's a lot more episodes that have started with you saying this is one of my favorite books than me.
Yeah, well, I like better books, I guess, is the main thing.
Oh, you want to do this? You want to do this?
No.
You want to go toe-to-toe on books?
No, actually, I really want to talk about Treasure Island, because it's been like 16 minutes, and so far all we've done is fuck up the protagonist's name.
Jim... What the fuck is Jim from The Office's name? Halpert. I can't even make this dumb joke because I've already forgotten it. Halbert.
Halpert with a P.
Fuck.
Jesus fucking Christ. Amelia. Sarah. So Jim.
Anyway, the
Jim Hawkins, all right?
Jim Hawkins, our young lad protagonist in this young lad adventure book for young lads.
I mean, I'm not a young lad, but I actually did enjoy this book quite a lot.
I enjoyed it as well, but it's very much of the genre of, like, yeah, boys, go get 'em!
Yeah, you know? No, definitely. And I mean, like, I don't know, I was impressed by how, I mean, fast-paced is kind of the wrong word, but, like, I don't know, it just kept me reading, kept me going.
Well, fast-paced is a pretty good word. Not even fast-paced. I mean, because, yes, a lot of things happen, and there's really no... There's introspection, I guess, occasionally, but not really. And there's certain facts, like, Jim goes off on a journey to go get some treasure. He's, like, 12? He's young, right?
I have no idea.
He's, like, an ageless boy. We just know that he's a youth.
Yeah, he's, you know? He's just, like, the Alpha and Omega boy.
No. Bad. We know that he's a notable youth, and that he lives with his mother after, and his father passes away at some point in the first 20 pages. And then he's like, someone's just like, we found a treasure map, Jim. We're gonna go find some treasure, and you'll come with us. And he's like, cracking good sport, cheerio. And then just, like, eventually he just goes with the ship. I'm on the ship. But at no point is there ever any dialogue about him, like, telling his mother, or, like, asking permission. He just, like...
People don't need to ask women for permission back then, Sarah, you silly goose. This was written in 1888.
But I think that's, like, really emblematic of the book. Just not your thing, but my thing, which is just, like, any moment that would just be, like, a character doing nothing but, like... dealing with some emotional logistics? No.
Nah, that's not what we're here for. We're here to fight pirates, actually, so none of that emotional bullshit. This is a boy's novel. This is a novel for the Alpha and Omega boy, who does not experience human emotion.
He does.
Only swashbuckling.
But, like, for queen and country, you know? Or king and country, I guess. God. God, country, monarchy.
Yeah, God, it just struck me right now how everything about this book is like the exact antithesis of Black Sails. Oh, and I will say, actually, as I was reading through, I was like, man, all the notes I highlighted were about Captain Flint. Did I read this? I mean, like, I know that I didn't. Wait a minute. I wonder if I literally went through and did, like, a search for Captain Flint's name after watching Black Sails and then just highlighted. That's insane, but that does sound like me.
It's insane, but so deeply plausible for someone who has done the things that you have done in your life.
Yeah. I mean, one of my notes...
That sounds shiftier than I mean. I just mean that you like...
What are you implying, actually? I just... I just was willing to take it at face value, but what have I done, Sarah?
You just, like, love sad men.
I can't wait for our episode on part two of Black Sails where we can talk about the text that I sent you when I finished the entire series.
Oh my god, there's nothing funnier than the text that you've sent me when you finished the whole series of Black
Sails. We gotta
Sails.
Find it so you can read it. I know that we've had difficulty
with that.
I'll
see if I can. I'll have to go so far back in time.
I can't believe you didn't screen cap it. You must have known that was going to be hilarious mockery material somewhere down the line when my emotions were not so high.
Astonishingly, I don't just look at your emotional breakdowns as future jokes.
Except, I'm sensing a lie here.
It's like a lie.
Anyways, literally one of the notes in my notes for this episode is just Flint with a bunch of exclamation marks.
I know. He's got such a bad reputation.
I know. He's so evil.
He's such a naughty boy who died of rum in Savannah, according to this book.
So they say.
And John Silver is just a wily piece of shit.
He is. I love him. So anyways, the whole setup of this book is that this pirate, Billy Bones, shows up at the Admiral Benbow Inn, which is where Jim Hawkins and his family, you know, they're the innkeepers or whatever. And so he's like this pirate guy with a mysterious chest, and he is sort of constantly on the lookout for people who are on his tail. And at one point, they finally catch up to him, and before he can try and escape, he actually has a stroke, which I was surprised by because I didn't know that people knew what strokes were back then. But as it turns out, and I did make fun of you before we were recording this because I'm the one who gets to share the medical fact this time. It's me! I'm taking it from you! And it's not even about poop! Because apparently...
I'll find poop somehow.
Strokes were first recognized by Hippocrates? That's how you say his name, right?
Yeah.
Like 2,400 years ago. Mm-hmm. So I was very wrong about that. And back then they were called apoplexy, which apparently means struck down by violence in Greek, which that's pretty fucking baller. And that's how that's how Billy Bones' attack is referred to in this.
Yeah. Let me tell you, there's a big, like, the medical history is basically just, like, the gods are probably angry specifically at your pancreas.
I mean, that's kind of how I feel just in life, you know?
Go to the doctor.
I, like, wake up and swing my legs out of bed and both of my hips crack and I'm like, wow, some deity up there just really fucking hates me.
I'll be real, that one time you asked me, like, do I need to have health insurance? And I was, like, giving you this very measured answer. But then I just was, like, remembered, like, all the weird things that have happened to your body and all the noises I have heard you fucking make with your bones. And I was like, yeah, you specifically need health insurance and should have it.
It's a compelling point. So, speaking of bones, you like that? That was pretty good, right? Jim gets the treasure map from Billy Bones, not even knowing that it's a treasure map. He just grabs it sort of at random and then later finds out that it's basically what these pirates have been after the entire time, thus kicks off this epic quest to go to Treasure Island and find the treasure. I mean, it's pretty self-explanatory. The book is called Treasure Island. They go to an island with treasure on it. Swashbuckling ensues.
I was telling my dad that I was reading this book, and he was like, yeah, the thing about the treasure was really interesting. And I was like, is the treasure friendship? Dad, is the treasure friendship? And he goes like, no, the treasure is not friendship. I'm like, well, I think it's friendship, but we'll see.
I mean, it was kind of friendship.
It was kind of friendship.
But also, there but is literal treasure.
Also gold.
I don't want to bury the lead or the treasure on that one.
That's bad.
Yeah.
What I do love is that, like, I genuinely expected there not to be treasure.
Are you fucking kidding me, Sarah?
Yeah. No, because that's, like, the thing. That's how it always works on treasure hunt narratives. That, like, they're not able to get the treasure. Like, for whatever reason.
Yeah.
It's like people are, like, never allowed to actually get the treasure. And this book is just, like, I mean, spoiler warning for a Victorian novel, but they're, like, we got it!
Yeah, they get the treasure. There, it doesn't all work out quite according to plan, but they do, in fact, get the treasure in Treasure Island.
Yeah. The ambiguously aged Jim does see a lot of men die.
Yeah, Jim, our boy Jim, how old is he exactly? Because in the epic classic Treasure Planet, he's like, I don't know, 15?
He's a twunk.
He's
a twink? He's a beautiful lesbian.
He's a twank.
Look at him. I've had his hair. I have had his
you
hair.
You have literally
outfit.
Had his hair. I'm pretty sure I made fun of you for that.
I look like every... Who is it? Don Bluth? Like, all those guys? Like, the guy from Anastasia? And, like,
oh,
some other
yeah.
things? They all have that same dumb haircut. Titan AE or whatever. I've had, like... I've always had the hairstyles and the general fashions of...
A fucking 16-year-old Disney male?
Not Disney.
Is Treasure Planet not Disney?
I think Treasure Planet is Disney, but Don Bluth's, like, different. Like, Anastasia isn't Disney.
Okay.
This is incredibly pointless. Titan AE is good.
I have no idea what that is. Please don't tell me. We're already so far off track.
Fine. We'll just talk about our beautiful boy. Our beautiful boy, Jim.
Our beautiful ageless boy.
Who does actually, like, the last paragraph of the book... is him talking about the worst dreams that he ever has involving, like, being back on that island and the parrot squawking in his ear. So he has both gold and PTSD.
Yeah, boy.
Also the parrot is John Silver's, and it is called Captain Flint.
Yeah.
That is so funny to me as a person who has seen 1.5 seasons of Black Sails.
Yeah, God, that, I mean, just the mental image of Flint ever at any point finding out that Silver had named a parrot after him, it gets me warm in the cockles of my heart.
What exactly are cockles?
What the fuck? A cockle is an animal? Okay, I'm gonna text you a very disturbing picture, and don't worry guys, we'll be tweeting these.
I don't really fucking want this photo.
I'm sorry, Sarah, but you know I had to do it to you. How the fuck can I do this?
Anyway, so they go, I mean, yeah, I was going to explain more of the plot, but they go to the island. They do pick up, so they pick up this guy as they're trying to get their ship together. And they pick up this jovial cook called John Silver. Nickname One John Silver. Nickname Barbecue. Because he's a cook.
Yeah, I was wondering why they keep fucking calling him that. A little weird, not going to lie.
It's very, not exactly the most threatening of pirate names I've heard. And what I also enjoy about Long John Silver is that, like, there is not, as far as I can tell, an explanation for his name in the book. Like, why his name is Long John.
There's a really good... The thing is, I don't know why it is that in the book. Probably because he has a big dick. but there's a really good... the explanation in the show is pretty fucking choice, so...
It's his big dick. No, it's because his dick is really small, and it's an ironic nickname.
I mean, I guess.
Did you enjoy the book?
I did, actually. It was just fun, you know? I thought that it was entertaining and well-written and, again, didn't get bogged down with any emotional introspection at all. I mean, that's kind of a lie, though. There. It's not like it's totally devoid of emotions. It just doesn't linger on things. And
yeah,
pretty much it's like all action almost all the time. There's really not many scenes where it's just like the characters hanging out and talking, unless they're talking about strategy or survival or something like that.
Or they're talking, but someone's, like, in an apple cart listening, and it's like, John Silver,
like, killing
maybe use fewer nouns when you're discussing your treachery.
Yeah. Yeah, there's not, honestly, a lot of subtlety going on in this mutiny. I mean, one thing that I picked up on was the fact that they literally have two Jolly Roger flags on hand for the mutiny, which is like, where were you guys keeping them?
Who made those?
Yeah, who made them? Like, were you not worried about somebody finding these and being like, why do you have, Mr. Silver, why do you have a couple of pirate flags in your cook's bag? Like, oh, well, you know, I just am a big fan of the theory of the sport of piracy. I just, it's
no, no. Okay, John
culture.
Silver would be like, what he would do would be like, John Silver, why do you have two pirate flags in your bag? Pirate flags in my bag?
It's more likely than you think.
There. Oh, the wicked villain that must have put them there. I bet it was that other pirate you saw me with. I didn't know he was a pirate either. How come they all come drink at my tavern? It's wild.
Yeah, that's a
And everyone
really
would be
point.
Like, that makes a lot of sense, John Silver. Clearly, we can trust you.
See, I love it because you and Black Sails have not really gotten to the point where John Silver, like, really hits his stride in the manipulation department.
That's so funny because he's just very shitty right now and just having, like, a very bad time.
He's manipulative, but he's not actually very good at it, so,
Which is my kink. Apparently, now, you gave me an incompetency kink, which I don't even fucking know how that happened.
Remember when you used to love it when characters were good at things, and I was like, you are missing some prime real estate here on characters being massive fuck-ups at everything they attempt to do. And boy, does that just fucking describe John Silver for the majority of two seasons. Yeah,
but
I love
this
him so
book,
much.
It also kind of describes him. It's like, it's hard to say whether Long John Silver in this book is a fuck-up, whether he is surrounded by fuck-ups and he is doing his level best to hold it together, or both of those things are true. I mean, all of the mutineers seem pretty incompetent.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, really, when shit goes down, the best advantage that Jim's side has is that the pirates are always fucking drunk.
Yeah, exactly. And, I
They're so drunk.
They also, like, camp in the middle of a swamp. So I guess that's my survival tip. Don't camp in a swamp and then spend your entire time drunk and just expect the treasure to materialize in front of you.
Yeah, can't recommend that enough. Also, if you're going with a man to bury some treasure and he's like saying like, this is be the last haul ye ever go on. It's not because you're going to retire. I don't know James Flint said that, but I feel like he said some ominous shit that everyone chose to ignore, and then he killed all of them so no one could tell where the treasure was. Also, it's super baller just to think about James Flint killing six men. Like
if the Black Sails James Flint? Because, I mean, I gotta tell you, buddy, he kills a lot of people. If that's what you're here for, you're not going to be disappointed.
Well, I like that he kills... It's like six on one and he kills them fucking all, and then he like arranges the corpse to like be part of the treasure.
God.
I really didn't realize how prominent James Flint was in this book.
Such a fucking problematic fave. No, I'm just kidding. He's not problematic. James Flint has done nothing wrong.
He's done so many things actively wrong.
It's fine because he's gay, all right? He's allowed.
I do love thinking about, like, whoever read this fucking book and was just, like, seeing these things, about, like, seeing this legend of James Flint and was just like, gay, icon, bicon.
Yeah, seriously. Somebody with vision, clearly.
What I was gonna say is, it took me a long time to get into Black Sails, to agree to watch it, because basically, I'm, like, never on the side of pirates. I think we had literally an episode where we talked about pirate stories.
Where you refused to read the pirate book.
I read the pirate book. I read a pirate book. Oh, wait, no, I didn't read the pirate book. I read a book about the sea. You're right.
Exactly.
Well, it's just because I don't like pirates.
I mean,
like,
that's fair, like, I guess.
And here's the thing. It's very fair, and I'm utterly correct, and you're wrong. Having said that, I was kind of thinking, like, Jim, be a pirate, Jim!
Jim, you're a boy! This is a boy story for boys! Be a pirate! Be a pirate,
Jim,
boy.
Jim, Long John Silver can teach you so much, Jim!
I do honestly, genuinely really like John Silver, and I like his relationship with Jim. And I think John Silver's genuinely a really interesting character in this.
He is on, no one's side except his own and his fucking ability to, like, his ability to betray and then betray the people he betrayed and then betray again is, like, truly beautiful.
Yeah, because it's like he's never even really betraying them because he's never actually on anyone's side. You know, like there's this point where Jim kind of realizes that Silver has positioned himself in such a way that no matter what happens, he has an out and he can essentially win. Yeah, what an interesting character in a novel that, you know, is otherwise fairly straightforward. And I don't say that as a criticism.
Yeah, he is this sort of fascinatingly complex shit bag.
I love that.
He's got, you know, he's like, he's got a wife he trusts and he owned an inn that he sold so that his wife, he's like, apparently his wife is like off to go set up all the money stuff somewhere else and he'll meet up with her. And I don't know, there's just like such weird hints of his whole history of like, how'd he lose his leg? And why was James Flint afraid of him but also proud of him?
Was that in the book?
Yeah, that's what he said.
Huh. Can't believe that I didn't immediately latch onto that and highlight it and print it out on a piece of paper and tape it to my wall.
Yeah, Silver brags about that. And he says he was never scared of James Flint, which I do truly believe in the TV show would be a lie, I think.
Yeah, for sure. I really like the way that John Silver is this totally magnetic character, you know, that really they can't help but like him, even knowing that he is pretty much playing them. He's just so good at it that they can't help but still be played.
I know, and I love the pirate democracy.
Yeah.
Being such a large element of, like, we elected you captain, you know, but we don't like it anymore, and we're giving you the black spot.
Which, actually, Robert Louis Stevenson actually invented the concept of the black spot, which I find interesting.
I just saw that, too. I was so proud of him.
I know, like, yeah, that was, like, that's, like, a big thing now.
I know, which, honestly, reading this, it's like, oh, this is where we get pirates from. Like,
yeah.
This is it.
Yeah, pretty much. God, sometimes with the fucking pirate slang, I'm like, can you just fucking talk like a normal person, please?
There are honestly, especially when he's writing out, like, phonetically the accent, there'll be times where I'll have honestly no idea. There'll be so many. What word is it? What word is he saying? What did I say? No good'll come of that, I said.
Are you a pirate? Why are you posh?
Is that posh? That's not posh.
Sarah, you're bad at accents.
Farcical count. Okay, it's this one. Okay, it's this one that I cannot figure out. And I would love your F-O apostrophe C apostrophe S.
That's
apostrophe Foxel. L-E.
A.K.A. It's like forecastle. It's a part of the ship.
Okay, I was never going to get that one.
Hang on, let me see how you actually pronounce it.
Foxel. Foxel.
I think it's... Okay, it's actually Foxel. So I apologize, but I knew what it was, because I read a lot of naval-related stuff.
You do, babe. Also, I will say my most uncomfortable spelling in this whole novel is the way they spell duty as D-O-O-T-Y.
No, Sarah.
I just don't like it.
You're not bringing it back to poop again.
I'm not bringing it to poop. I'm just saying it is there in the word. And also... duty for poop is like the most childish joke you can make. I wasn't going there. You were going there. And thirdly, there's no reason to spell it phonetically because duty and duty are pronounced exactly the same, at least in my accent. And my accent's the one that matters.
But it does, like, if you think about it, like, it's like a different mouth feel, you know? Like,
say it. Say them both.
Duty. Duty.
I don't know which one was which.
You're a liar. You're a fucking liar who lies.
Duty is duty, you know?
Duty.
Got to do me duty to the ship. I'm a buccaneer.
Duty to the ship sounds like, I don't know, like you're a wife who has to give her husband an heir. You're gonna fuck the ship is what I'm saying.
I'm gonna get pregnant by the ship?
I guess. I don't know what that means. Well, that's how figureheads are born, so.
Horrifying. Absolutely horrifying. You've pitched a terrible, terrible myth that I hope no one ever remembers that you said. I've seen things come out of vaginas, Amelia, and it's taken on a new sense of horror for me.
Well, the great thing about the human ship hybrid figurehead baby is that it doesn't poop when it comes out. It's really my favorite part about it, actually.
Weirdly enough, it still does.
No.
Also, again, I am not the one who keeps bringing poop here. I did it at the beginning, and then every single other mention of poop has been you being, Sarah, don't bring poop into this. I'm like, I'm not, but you keep protesting it, so, like, maybe you want it.
What are you accusing me of, Sarah?
I'm accusing you of shirking your duty, or your duty.
I cannot really express how much I hate that. Do we have any other thoughts about Treasure Island to discuss?
I enjoy reading Victorian era action because oftentimes it will be written in such a bloodless way or an oblique way.
Yeah, one of my favorite things is how they're always like, there's like the character's dialogue and then it's like, and some curses which I have omitted. Give us yes. some Victorian curse words, you fool, you coward.
Yes, and quite a lot of people die, but it's almost hard to pick out, like, you have to read a little carefully to, like, note when people die, because it is almost like, and I heard a death's cry in the woods, and the captain was like, oh dang, and we walked on to the ship, and it's, like, not quite coy about its violence. I think, it's probably very swashbuckling. If I'm, like, a lad in, like, 1892, I'm probably like, oh, shit. But it is interesting reading it from a modern perspective, which, again, it was just like, show us the blood. Show me blood.
Are you asking for this to be like, well, I mean, you'll get that in Black Sails. Yeah.
But we'll get it first in our next episode. We're not going to get blood in our next episode. Yeah, this is a really bad transition.
That was a really bad transition. You're really giving people unrealistic expectations of Treasure Planet, which is what we're going to do for our next episode a week from today. And I guess we're ending the episode now?
Are we?
I guess
yeah.
so.
You know what?
Nice. Yeah. That was so organic that I couldn't believe it, and so I ruined it.
Treasure Planet, which I'm excited to tell you about because, I mentioned it once again to my father, shout out to my dad, featured twice in this episode, you go my dude. I mentioned it to my dad and he was like, oh, Treasure Island, we watched the movie of that, Treasure Planet, with the boy and the ship. And I was like, yes, dad. And he's like, and Captain Amelia? And I was like, yeah, wow, you did it. And he's like, and then, like, I left the kitchen, and then I came back, like, 5 minutes later, and has his glasses up on his forehead so that he can see his phone clearer, and it's, like, right next to his face, and he's, like, squinting at it.
Oh, no.
He just looks up at me, he says, a lot of people dress like Captain Amelia, huh?
Oh,
and
I'm
just, like, he just spent a lot of time looking, he, like, Googled Captain Amelia, and then, like, he just got, like, Captain Amelia cosplay. And I had to, like, kind of explain cosplay a little bit. But then I Googled Captain Amelia myself to see what he must have seen.
That's what I'm doing right now.
It's not as full of porn as I was afraid of, but it's not there.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
I'm
just imagining your father squinting at this with his glasses on his forehead. Somebody did a fucking human version of her? That is, like, so weird. That's like a fucking human turned into a cat lady turned back into a human again. This is too deep. Just admit that you're a fucking furry.
Isn't it the opposite of being a furry if you've turned her back into a human?
That's just because you're a coward. You're clearly attracted to the fucking cat lady. Although, is she? I don't even know. We're clearly going to have to talk about this.
What I love is Dad didn't ask if she was a cat lady. Dad asked if she was French. I don't know, Dad. It's been a long time. Also, I just want to say that you are in no position to accuse or not accuse anyone of being a furry when you once said, and I quote, we were all attracted to Kovu from The Lion King
2. I didn't even fucking say that to you. I told you that story about how I told that to my other friend who was like, wait, what? And I was like, oh, my experiences are not universal. You know what, though? I fucking stand by that, okay?
No.
He was, like, weird.
I was not attracted to him. Simba, yeah. The fox from Robin Hood? Robin Hood? Fox Robin Hood? Absolutely. Fox Marion? Yeah. Maid Marian as a fox? Yes. Kovu? Get out of here. He has, like, a weird mullet.
He's a lion. He has a fucking mane, is, I believe, the technical term.
Well, it doesn't get expressed very well. The point is, Captain Amelia, yes.
No question. Without a doubt.
I'm unnerved. I guess we'll dig into this next time on our episode on Treasure Planet.
She's very human, you know?
Is that really the hill you want to die on? Like... So that episode's going up on November 19th, and then a week after that, we are going to post part one of our Black Sails series, which is going up on November 26th.
We're going all in on the pirates.
Oh, yeah.
If y'all were, like, in the middle of the Arctic phase, and you're like, man...
Done now!
I hope they don't get stuck in a rut again. Unfortunately for you, we're not only stuck in a rut, we're stuck in a very fucking specific rut based around my deep, deep love for James Flynn, but only 1.5 seasons worth of love because I'm very slow at watching television.
So part two, which is going, so part one is going up on the 26th, and that's going to be seasons 1 and 2. And part two is going up on the December 3rd, and that's going to be seasons 3 and 4. And
okay,
we're not really,
we're making a lot of called shots here.
What do you mean?
I mean, I don't know if we should be stating the dates everything is going up.
Sarah, we gotta be better. We gotta try to be better. We can't keep doing
this. All right,
this.
No, we'll do it. We'll do it. We're good. High five. We're awesome. Who are we? We're the pirates, but we're not, because the pirates did not do super good in the story. So we're like the boring-ass doctor or whatever that like loves God and England. So whatever.
I want to be James Flynn, but the parrot.
I want to be Jim Halpert.
Yeah, weird that he was in this.
Weird. But, I mean, this was a self-aware narrator who, that's it.
Yeah, no, really... don't even try.
Anyway, this has been Cracked Spines. You can email us at crackedspinespodcast@gmail.com or follow us on Twitter at SpinesCast, fuck yeah, or follow us on Tumblr at crackedspinespodcast.tumblr.com, or you can, enter our homes, because they're not really as secure as they should be. I'll say it.
Okay, I lock my doors. I don't know about you. Actually, that's a lie. I do know about you. Lock your fucking doors, Sarah. I worry about you.
I have a very large pipe by my bed that I use for bludgeoning, so I'll be fine.
You know, civilization and living like a human being in the 21st century allows you to maybe not have a bludgeoning pipe by the side of your bed.
Civilization is the enemy of who we are. Did you not learn anything from Black Sails?
Don't you
and the James
fucking
Flint's
talk to me about
five
Black Sails?
Different speeches every episode about how civilization is a curse that needs to be wiped off the fucking earth.
He's so valid. Don't you talk about him like he's not valid.
He murdered a lot of people in this book, and he's not even in this book.
So valid. All right, this has been Crack Spines.
This has been Crack Spines. Remember that murder is valid if you're gay, and you can quote me in that.
Fuck yeah.